Well, we're waiting while my presentation is loading. Good morning. That was lame. Good morning. Much better. As you see, I'm used to working with children. One of my the privileges of my job is I get the opportunity on occasion to go into schools and work with fourth and fifth graders and get them all excited about saying no to drugs, not now, not ever. And you'll get to see some pictures about that this morning. Thank you very much for allowing me to be here. And I feel like I'm the bridge between research and policy. And I really appreciated some of the things that you said about that we are taking research and putting it into practice, and we need to now take practice and put it into research. Because when you're out there doing things that you know are working, and I know all of you are doing that, things that you know are making a difference in your community, but there's no researcher that says it works, it can feel a little frustrating, but we just keep doing it anyway. All right, so if I can figure out how I'm doing here. All right, so that's me. All right, and this is my disclosure. Okay. And now, let me give you a little sense of place about where I come from, because Casa Grande is a little-known place. We're halfway between Phoenix and Tucson along Interstate 10. We have about 50,000 people. We have minority-majority schools. We have about probably 56% of our students are Hispanic. Most of those are from Mexico at some point in their heritage. We have a significant population of white retirees in the winter months, so our statistics look a little different. We have mixed light industry, retail, and agriculture, and our proximity to Mexico and the Native American reservations creates a drug smuggling corridor both near and through our community. So this is a drug route map that was created by National Public Radio when they were doing a story on drug trafficking. And the red lines are where drugs come up from Mexico. And as you can see, there we are, right in the middle of all of that. So the drugs come up through Casa Grande, back down to Tucson, into Phoenix, back to Casa Grande. And quite realistically, there are hundreds of pounds of marijuana that are caught, that are interdicted by our law enforcement agencies every single day. They are stopping drug cartels and their minions with carloads and truckloads of illegal immigrants who are being smuggled into our nation, as well as illegal drugs being smuggled into our nation. So that's the environment in which we work. So who we are. We are a 40-member community anti-drug coalition. We were formed in 1989 when this whole coalition movement began. And we have representatives from our 12 required sectors, drug-free communities, has, as well as CADCA and the researchers, have identified that there are 12 sectors in the community. And if you have representatives from all of those 12 sectors on your coalition, then you're pretty well have a broad brush approach. We are funded by ONDCP's Drug Free Community Support Program. We also were funded to do a mentoring project through that same office. So when I asked ONDCP, our Drug Free Communities folks, for some, send me a couple of slides to explain what you do, this is what I got. Kind of feels like the one that was just put up. I didn't like that one, but this one's pretty good. Our 2011 appropriation for the Drug Free Communities program was $94.8 million, and here's the fiscal impact with our appropriation plus local match. Now this program has a progressive match, so it starts at 50% match and then increases as you have your grant longer and longer, and we're in year 9 of 10. So the next little dot is the most amazing one, is that 92% of every dollar appropriated goes directly into grants. They have an 8% administrative cost, which any of you that have worked with universities know that the university administrative cost is like, what, 50%? Yeah, so you lose half your money walking in the door. So I really feel like our tax dollars are well spent with drug-free communities, and you can tell that to your congressman. We have 726 grants in 49 states, and I know Judy is a grantee. Is there, are there any other drug-free community grantees in the room? Say it loud, say it proud. Sister, where are you from? All right, there's another Oregon girl in the room. All right. Oregon has been quite the leader in the nation in drug-free communities projects, and they are well known for the changes they've made in their communities. All right, here's the dot map. And we're kind of in the middle over there in Arizona, and you can see that any of you from the kind of middle of the nation over, you need to get busy writing some DFC applications because you're underrepresented. I realize you're underrepresented in population as well, but go for it. It's a wonderful program. Okay, that's my brief commercial message for DFC. All right, our mission for the CAST Grand Alliance is to build partnerships and work together to prevent substance abuse and violence among youth and adults. And here's some of the things that we do. This is kind of what your conference is all about. We foster healthy individuals and safe communities by effectively leading our community's efforts to reduce drug use and its consequences. We do recognize that drug use is a major public health threat. We believe that addiction is a preventable and treatable disease, and I imagine most of you also believe those things. We truly believe we're a catalyst for change, and the change we want to implement is to change social and cultural norms that promote those risky behaviors, and that by integrating prevention into every institution, business, home, and heart in Casa Grande, we want to work ourselves out of a job. We want all of our business people and our schools and our family members to think about prevention and have that become such a part of their breathing that we don't have to bang the drum anymore, kind of the way we've gotten with tobacco. It used to be years ago that if you lit up a cigarette and didn't offer someone one, you were rude. And so now, as you well know, you can't smoke anywhere. So wouldn't that be great if we could get to that place with drugs of abuse? So when I looked at the Office of National Drug Control Policy strategy, I was thrilled to see that it was not just words on a page. The strategy that has been put out in 2011 is real-world stuff. And I noticed that the principles that were in that strategy is actually what we are doing on the ground level. So what I want to do for you today is just kind of walk through the drug control strategy's principles for prevention and show you how those principles are actually being put to work in the local community. So we are a drug-free communities grantee, and that provides us with national guidance as well as national level networking, including networking through the Community Anti-Drug Coalitions of America. We do use the strategic prevention framework that guides our program, which means we're doing data-driven decision-making. We have a community-based process and evidence-based programs. And if you've ever tried to do a strategic plan with 40 people in the room, half of which who have never done strategic planning, it's like herding cats. But the outcome that you get is owned by the people in the room, and it really is a great process. One of the principles says that we need to have successful, safe, and healthy students, and they're some of our kids. These are, we worked really hard. It took us 3 years to get a SAD club started in our high school, but we got it done. And we now have, one of our students is a national SAD Leadership Council member, and two are state Leadership Council members. All right, and we are now fostering a second and a third chapter. Here's what's kind of fun. One of the students in that picture belongs to an infamous family that if you say that last name to the local cops, they all go, oh yeah, I know those people. Yeah, that family. Well, you know what? Now he's in SAD. So he's probably not going to end up in jail and prison like every other male in his family has. It's pretty exciting for me. So we use the Youth National Anti-Drug Media Campaign. This is Tag It, which is the one on the left, and where kids take these big tags and talk about where they are, what they are above the influence of. I know that ended that sentence in a preposition, but I don't know how else to say it. So she is above the influence of getting high. And then there was the National Art Project, and we sent artwork into a national competition, and several of our children were recognized, and it got turned into a billboard. So we're very active with that. We were one of 20 communities and 50 agencies that drove our Above the Influence campaign into our local communities. And this is how our community really wanted to show their support of youth. We have youth in the middle to show that our community is above the influence. This picture was taken at a community festival from a bucket truck from a fire department. And I realize it's kind of cheesy, But we got a lot of mileage out of this, put it on the front of a tabloid inside our newspaper, and got it to 17,000 homes. All right, another principle regarding the community level is the president was hoping, and the Office of National Drug Control Policy wants to strengthen communities along the southwest border, and we are within 100 miles of Mexico. So this is a news release. I just randomly picked one out. This one is for September 19th. Anti-smuggling operation in Vicol Valley, which is 15 miles away from Casa Grande, led to arrests. 40 undocumented aliens were apprehended, 3 U.S. citizens apprehended, 4 vehicles, 3 stolen vehicles, a partridge in a pear tree, and 4,300 pounds of drugs. This operation lasted, I think 3 days. So, it's a busy neighborhood. The next principle says that there needs to be a range of settings, that prevention needs to happen in a range of settings. And so we have our Strong Families parenting program. We work with faith-based organizations and schools. And we also have a drug-free workplace initiative where we offer prevention and education opportunities for employees and supervisors and support treatment referrals. This is the program I mentioned before. Principle 3 is that we need to disseminate information, and that information needs to be research-based information as well as just the basic level. So we reached 33,000 people last year with research-based information, either handing them a brochure or having a one-on-one dialogue. We did direct educational workshops to over 400 people, and these are our awareness sessions with our youth. We use balloons. We call them life balloons. We have the children fill up the life balloon with good things. And quite simply, we say if you use alcohol and other drugs, you choose to release control of your life, and they let go of their balloons. And they see that all of the good things come out, your life goes crazy, you don't know where you're going to land, and you end up to be flat. And the children really get it. It's a simple message, and you wonder if it sticks with them, but we've seen these children 2 and 3 years later. And we say to them, if I said to you, drugs not now, what would you say? And they say, not ever. They chant it over and over. Now, does that mean they're never going to use drugs? I don't know. But when they're in the fourth grade, they see life. This is a developmentally appropriate approach. They see life as black and white, good and bad. And we want them to begin to integrate the concept that drugs are bad and keeping control of your life is good. So we created this little silly little balloon program about that. So I'm not sure that when Director Gil Krulikowski was creating the National Drug Control Strategy, he was thinking about Cindy Shader and her silly balloons in Casa Grande. But this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we take all of the research that you talked about and all of the policy that David talked about, and we mash it together and come up with something that is going to disseminate information in a developmentally appropriate way to young children to get them thinking about drugs as a bad thing. Does this make sense to you? Okay, she gave me the 5-minute sign over here, and I've only got 2 slides, so I'm in good shape. Okay, we collaborate. Principle 4 in the policy says we need to collaborate with criminal justice agencies. And so DEA, HIDA, High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area, and local law enforcement, for example, did something called Operation Fertile Ground. And I'll tell you, it's really exciting to wake up in the morning and to hear helicopters overhead and flashbangs going off in the neighbor's house, and see armed vehicles coming down your street, and it's an invasion of cops to get rid of the bad guys. I love it. So 24 suspects were arrested in a joint agency enforcement operation, and then we did a recovering plan where we wanted to go back into those neighborhoods and see how could we make sure this didn't happen again. So the first thing we did is we provided treatment resource information to the addicts whose drug supply was going to be interrupted by this big operation. We worked with schools so that we actually knew who was arrested, and we wanted to get connected with those families, make sure the children of those dealers and drug providers, those children were taken care of, because actually the source of income just left the family. And then we went back to establish block watches in those neighborhoods. But the best part about this whole operation is that we had worked so closely with the DEA agents from the Tucson sector in years prior that they trusted us. And they came to us and said, we're doing this huge operation, you can't tell anybody, but once we're done, what can you do to help your community recover from that operation? It was really unprecedented. So here's our outcomes. How does this stuff work? Well, based on the Arizona Youth Survey, which is done biannually, comparing 2004 to 2010, here's our 30-day drug use rates. And you'll notice that every one of those says decreased, down, 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 down. So yes, it works. Based on the numbers of citations for minors in possession of alcohol, we've had a population level decrease in underage drinking from 1999 to 2010 of 68%. So does drug-free communities work? You betcha. It really makes a difference. And the last thing that I'll say in conclusion is that we recognize, as I said, that drug abuse is a major public health threat. Addiction is preventable and treatable. Being part of a national prevention effort increases the effectiveness of a coalition's efforts. I've seen coalitions rise and fall because they didn't have that connection. They were just trying to stir the waters, and unless you have a boat to come along and help you, it just doesn't work. And last, that implementing community-driven, evidence-based, and environmental prevention strategies effectively reduces substance abuse among youth, as evidenced by that last slide. So thank you very much. I know many of you are working in your communities to reduce substance abuse at the health department level, at the hospital level, and you're really making a difference. You're saving lives. What you're doing is critical, and we can never lose heart. So thank you very much.